At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am Michelle Maros, your co-host, and I'm sitting across the table from my mom, Barb. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be at our makeshift podcast studio kitchen table chatting with you.
It's nice because we're actually in the living room, so that's great.
Yeah.
I still have a little bit of a raspy voice, as you can hear, but it's so much better. And, you know, people have said to me for, I don't know, several years now, I guess since COVID times, you know, that you can get a cough and it can last for a while. And I've never had a cough that lasts for a while. And this is really kind of a lingering thing, but I feel like I must sound a lot better than last week.
Yes, you definitely do.
And I feel a lot better. So I'm really...
And thank you, lovely listeners, for bearing with our health voice challenges over the past couple of weeks. But know, yeah, we're getting there.
It's part of life. And it I think one of the things that we love about this podcast is they get a bird's eye view or a front row seat into our lives unfiltered.
It's all real.
Yeah, unfiltered.
So last week we chatted, I really loved our conversation last week about remembering who you are. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, definitely make sure you give it a listen. That was one of my favorite conversations on the show.
And we had so many beautiful comments. Mm-hmm. I had someone send me a beautiful song about remembering who you are.
If you could send it to me, I'll link it in the show notes.
Oh, I will.
Everyone can listen. Yeah.
I will. It was such a beautiful, lot of beautiful comments. As Michelle always says, we read everything that you send us, and it was really sweet.
Yeah. And so towards the end of that conversation, we started to dive into a practice that you've been following probably since your last year's retreat.
Yeah,
right?
For a good year or so.
And I would love to go into that a little more today because I think I kind of like how each, I mean, it doesn't always have to be this way, but I've liked how each week kind of builds on top of each other. And it's like we're peeling back the layer of the onions together. So going into this practice from last week of remembering who you are, I think this is a really cool addition to the conversation.
I agree. And I think what's really has me so just overjoyed from the heart, from my heart inside out. I'm so happy. And I know, I think we say this every week, but I'm so happy to be here with all of you and have the opportunity to have this platform to be able to talk about our lives and our experiences and the things that we're going through with the hopes of giving you some tidbits and some ways of, you know, managing our everyday life. This one in particular, what I feel like piggybacks a little bit, Michelle, on what you just said, it kind of feeds one after the other and we're getting deeper. Mm-hmm. Like today, I think last week talking about remembering who you are, and I think your comments were just so incredibly thoughtful. And to this week, you know, going even a little bit deeper and how do we continue to remember who we are? Mm-hmm. And always everything that Michelle and I talk about and the way we live our lives, it's always as best as we can, or as best that we're able to in every given moment. None of this is a one and done. None of this is perfectionism. This whole journey in life is all about how can I continue, you know, moment by moment or day by day, just finding a little bit more peace, finding a little bit more strength, finding a little bit more courage, finding a little bit more understanding of the life that we're trying to live. And I like to think of life this way, and I think this is a really beautiful way to start this episode, this idea of cultivating and developing the wisdom of how we actually relate to our lives. You know, what are the things in life that keep us from achieving or accomplishing or feeling the joy or the success or the happiness that we're desiring? And so if we can start to develop and cultivate the wisdom of how do we relate to life and what are some of the hindrances that keep us from, you know, relating in a way that's going to lead to our happiness or lead us forward into the path of our dreams.
Fascinating. But before we dive into that, I think it's super interesting and maybe helpful for everyone. It's helpful for me to kind of rewind a bit, because how do we even get to that place where we do even know, I guess it's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg kind of thing, but what is it in our lives that leads us to this place of actually having the desire to cultivate these things or dive deeper or become more aware or recognize that we're not in those relationships that we want to have with ourselves or having even that understanding of life? You know, what do you think, or maybe what was it in your life that led you to even having the feelings and the thoughts that that's something that you wanted to dedicate your mental time, your physical time, your emotional time to in your life? Because, you know, as we've said a lot on the show, one of the biggest feedback that we get whenever we teach meditation and mindfulness tools and practices is, you know, I don't have enough time to add one more thing into my life and onto my plate. I'm too busy, which is valid. We're all super busy. But I even think of like being and cultivating like an introspective mindset and leaning into the curiosity of life in general is time consuming. So I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense, but like, how can we as normal, quote unquote, regular human beings, like come to this place of like, why is this worthwhile for me to spend my time when my time is already so stretched? And what is that kind of breaking point of, yeah, this is the path that I need to go on?
Michelle, I think that's the number one question in life. Honestly, I think what you're asking is eventually or ultimately all of us come to. We all come to a question of, why am I here? Who am I? How do I get to where it is I want to go? How do I know where I want to go? All of the things that you just wrapped up in that beautiful few sentences. And I believe what gets us there, I think that's what you're asking. How do we get to that place of asking any of these questions?
Like, I just think there's a realm where we don't. And I'm just saying, yeah, how
absolutely.
Do we get there?
And I believe the way we get there, and we all will experience one of the five most traumatic things that happens in our lives. You know, science and research and doctors and all the people that are involved in looking at daily life and seeing what causes us to be who we are and react how we react and do the things that we do. There are five things that for as long as I've been studying this, and even I'm sure way before I even started studying this 40 years ago, there are five things that therapists and psychiatrists and scientists and will say are traumatic events that all of us will experience at least one of them. Mm. That leads us to an aha moment in our lives where we say, wait a minute, what? I'm so sad. I am suffering from the pain of this loss so much. So those five things are death of a loved one. All of us will experience that. Divorce, not all of us will experience that, but that's one of the five. Moving, I would say most of us will experience that, especially if you maybe you have your childhood home, but eventually you're going to leave your childhood home and go to your adult home. So moving, I think, would pretty much be a universal experience. A major illness or injury. Mm-hmm. Most of us will experience something in that we have some physical pain.
Or have or someone
injury.
In our lives that will.
Exactly. Or have someone in our lives. And job loss.
Interesting.
So those are the five things that psychiatrists
and not
researchers.
Like trauma?
That's what they're saying.
But I mean like trauma inflicted by someone else. Where does that fit into the equation?
Major illness or injury, I would say.
Injury.
Yeah, okay. I would say injury. It doesn't have to be you know, a fall. It can be someone has injured us.
Like bodily harm.
Bodily harm. Got or it. Mental harm. Okay. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily physical harm. It can be emotional harm. Okay. I think it falls, I think that major illness or injury falls into that category of any kind of mental or physical abuse. Or harm.
Interesting.
And so I think we all experience stress, obviously. We all know that. That is a truthful statement. And it can be overwhelming at times on how we manage it. I think we can all agree that that's a truthful statement, expression of how we live our lives. And so if one of these five major things enters life, let's just, even if we don't have one of these five, life is hard. Mm-hmm. Life is stressful. Life can be overwhelming. So when you couple one of these things on top of it, it becomes, I like to think when I my whole life changed 40 years ago when I checked myself into treatment for bulimia. Mm-hmm. And so that was a life-changing event. I woke up one morning and said, I can't live this way. I heard the voice in my head say, Barbara, you're going to die. You need to get help. And so I think we all can have a version of those iterations in life that happen where there's a voice inside or there's an experience outside that says, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do anymore. Whatever I'm doing now isn't working. So what can I do? Because I just don't want to live this way anymore. And I think often we don't know what the next step is going to be or how we want to live, but we just know we don't want to live this way anymore.
Well, and I think at that time too, you were kind of like a Russian nesting doll of those five things that you had listed. I think you probably had all of them, right? At that point?
In 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Not divorce. Moving, well, major illness, not.
I guess your parents weren't divorced either.
No, but, no. Okay. So,
but you had most of them.
Most of them.
So I think it's like a compound of so many different difficulties like that. That probably hadn't really been processed at that point in your life, which makes sense that it would kind of all rise to the surface and lead to some of those disordered tendencies.
Well, definitely. And I think one of the things we talk about a lot on this podcast is how we process, how we deal with, how we manage, how we relate to our emotions and our feelings. And certainly back then, 40 years ago, I was 28 years old. And I didn't process any feelings. Every feeling went down. Every feeling was like, I can't deal with you right now. Let me just keep going. I can't deal with you right. I don't want to feel this because I didn't know what it was going to bring up later. And I didn't want to have to deal with it later. So I literally just stuffed every feeling. And of course, that is one of the true things about bulimia, stuffing your feelings with food and then needing to get rid of the guilt and the shame after all the food. And so that's the cycle of bulimia. And that's what was my life. That was what I was doing for a good, you know, 7-8 years while I was in the throes of bulimia. But even before that, as a child, the trauma and everything that I experienced as a child and the growing up years and all of that, I did not know how to process my feelings. I was not allowed to talk about them. I didn't want to feel them. So honestly, I don't know where they went. They went inside me somewhere. And then eventually going into treatment and therapy, it all started flooding out. And what I feel so strongly about life right now, and you know, as I believe we're here to grow and to learn and become the greatest version of who we are. So we're constantly learning and constantly growing. And so if you're asking me today, what is your most important thing in life? What I would tell you is my most important thing in life today is I truly want to continue to live a life that leads to freedom. Freedom has always been a key foundation of my life, and it gets stronger and stronger and gets more specific and more detailed as I get older. So I'm not so much a fan of the word purpose. What's your purpose in life? Okay, is your purpose in life to teach? Is your purpose in life to get married and have children? Because I think that that evolves and I think that that changes and I think it morphs and it kind of moves into different phases. For me, the idea of purpose in life is what is the main underlying thing or feeling that I want to have? And as I've been studying and practicing for 40 years, I've really have come to this feeling of really wanting to be so in tune with living my life in a way where I don't feel at the mercy of not only the external world, because that's how it started for me. How do I live my life that I'm not at the mercy of the external world, knowing that it's unpredictable, overwhelming, chaotic at times? But now I'm also really keenly interested in how do I live my life not being at the mercy of my mind, not being at the mercy of not only the thoughts in the mind, but the things in the mind that get me clinging and wanting to be attached to something and not being able to let it go, or the things, sense objects, you know, being so attached to needing something or needing to go buy something that I'm just not settled unless I have it. You know, those kind of thoughts that we all have in life, sense objects, attachments, the thoughts in the mind that take me down a rabbit hole of what other people are thinking. So I think you started off this episode really beautifully from last week's episode. I have been practicing for over a year now this notion, this practice. So for me, everything in life is practice. You want to say, how do we get to knowing what it is we know, or how do we get to doing what it is we need to do to lead us to the most successful, happy life we want to have? By practice. We are scientists and our life is an experiment.
But I guess going back to the question and even going back to last week's episode, really it seems like what starts this whole conversation or starts these paths or these journeys or these inquiries into ourselves, into our lives is suffering.
Yes.
We have moments in our lives that like make us question things or make us feel like we don't, or that we're out of control, or that we don't know what to do, or that we're just not sure of anything around us. And I think maybe that's where it starts, is suffering and the questions that arise out of our suffering. And like you were saying last week, you know, we all are going to suffer and experience difficulties and hardships, but it's like what we do with it. And do we take our suffering and let it lead to more unnecessary suffering? Or do we take our suffering and use it for our own growth and betterment? And I guess that's where these, didn't mean to clear my throat in your guys' ears, but the suffering that leads to the inquiries that leads to self-exploration.
Exactly. That's the whole episode today in a little couple sentence iteration of what it is we're talking about. And I think that's why I'm so excited about where we're going with every episode of our podcast. We're getting really deeper and deeper into the crux of how do we actually live the life? How do we, here's one of the things that I say often. We need to be serious about the life that we want to live. It is our one wild and precious life, as Mary Oliver says in her poem. Mm-hmm. But we can't take ourselves so seriously. So we have to be gentle and loving and caring and understand that we're going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to do things that aren't in our best interest. And then how do we recover that? How do we come back to, okay, wait a minute, I just learned this. This is a really great thing that I just learned. Now, how do I use that to lead me into the direction of my own freedom from the continuation of the suffering and the pain that we're all going to feel from time to time in life? I think there's a great freedom that comes when we actually get it, that we're never going to get rid of pain and suffering.
Yeah. And I don't want to, because it does lead us to these places that there's a lot of joy and benefit.
Yes. And so what I feel strongly about when we sit down and have these conversations, Michelle, is that we're going to have pain and suffering. And then how do we not extend the pain and suffering to a place where it doesn't actually have to be? Mm-hmm. How do we cause our own pain and suffering as a result of the pain and suffering that legitimately we are going to feel in life? Mm-hmm. So just like we're going to feel joy and happiness, we are also going to have always some kind of a pain or a suffering that comes into our lives at one point or another. Not always all the time, but just at one point or another. And so we said this in last week's episode, there are two kinds of suffering. Mm-hmm. Suffering that leads to more suffering and suffering that leads to the end of suffering. And it doesn't mean the end of suffering forever. It just means how can we experience and feel the pain that we might be feeling in the moment and not let the mind or the external world, other people or places or things, interfere with our processing of the suffering and the pain that we're feeling in this moment. And this is what I want to talk about in this episode that you and I have been having so many conversations about.
Yeah, I love it. And it's fascinating. Let's take a quick break before we dive back into it.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We have officially reached the spooky season. So what's something that scares you? If you've listened to the show, I've talked about my own fears of being left behind, not reaching my dreams and my goals, and lots of other things. With this time of year, Halloween lets us have fun with what scares us. But what about those fears that don't involve the zombies and the ghosts? Therapy is a great tool for facing your fears and finding ways to overcome them. Because sometimes the scariest thing is not facing our fears in the first place and holding ourselves back. I've talked about often on the show how much therapy has benefited me and has changed my life, honestly. I wouldn't be the person that I am today without being in therapy and seeking out help when I need it the most from a licensed professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's amazing. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. You can overcome your fears today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/barbknowsbest.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So I think just to reiterate, I'm trying to be mindful of my words, like the necessity of suffering in our lives, or just the acceptance that it is a natural part of life and it's an inevitable part of life. And through that acceptance, we can embrace the silver linings, the lessons, the teachings, the wisdom, the growth that comes from it. And also realizing that it is through suffering and difficulties that we actually know and have the contrast to be cognizant of happiness and joy. Like I think the dualities of life show us what's possible. And so we know what's good in our lives, because we also know what's not good.
And that's why it's an experiment. It's why you and I talk about that all the time. That's why life is an experiment. And I love feeling this way and thinking about life being an experiment, because it keeps me gentle with myself. It keeps me from beating myself up because I said this wrong thing or I did this thing that really led to more suffering. I mean, everything that Michelle and I talk about, and Michelle, I love that we are able to do this, because everything that we talk about is not a one and done again. It's not a one and done, or it's not a, oh my gosh, I'm going to be healed from this in the sense that I'm not going to have to revisit this situation again. And I think there's a huge freedom. I'll say it again, maybe in another way. There's a huge freedom that comes from releasing ourselves from the notion or the idea that we're ever going to be healed completely, or that we're never going to feel pain or suffering again, or that we're going to always know how to relate to life in a way that's going to be in our best interest, mm-hmm. or that we're not going to make a mistake again. Or, I mean, I'm sure there are like 30, 40, 50 more things that I could say here. Like giving yourself a break and releasing yourself from the fact that you need to be perfect, or that you're going to actually get to a place of knowing it all.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, as a child growing up and all the things that I went through, I kept thinking I was eventually going to get to be perfect, because I thought everybody else was. I was the one that wasn't. And I was going to eventually know everything that I needed to know in order to live the life that I wanted to live. And that's not true. I'm never going to know everything, and I'm going to constantly be learning, and I'm going to keep making a lot of mistakes. Hopefully my mistakes are minimized to the least amount of suffering to other people, mm-hmm. because I think I'm starting to really get it that I have to have some kindness and some love for myself. So I'm really good at understanding if I've harmed someone else and making an amend for it, or wanting to know how can I help in the situation to relieve the suffering if I've caused suffering for someone else. But it's taken me a long time to realize that I've actually inflicted a lot of my own suffering upon myself, because I had not been as kind or as gentle or as forgiving, because I held myself to too high of a standard for so many years, thinking that I should know better. Hmm. And even with Maya Angelou's beautiful quote that really has saved my life for many, many years, when we know better, we do better. She didn't mean forever. She didn't mean like we know better, we do better. Okay, cross that off the list. I think what she meant was when we know better, we do better. I now that I know better, if I don't do better, there's a part of me that will say, oh, wow, what can I learn here so that I can know a little bit more better, so that I can know a little bit more better. It's almost that idea of once we learn something about ourselves, I think for me, it's impossible to uncheck that learning. Mm-hmm. We can disregard it. I can pretend like I don't know it, or I can deceive myself. But once you know who you are in certain realms, and once you know if you've harmed someone else, or once you really know in the depths of your being, it's almost impossible not to know anymore.
Yeah, you can't unknow something.
Right. So I look
But I also think we're... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I look at it as... You use this word a lot, Michelle, in all of your teachings and your writings and your speaking, grace. Offer yourself grace. You'll say it when you write a blog, almost invariably it will always say, and give yourself grace. Offer yourself grace. And you've really helped me a lot. I love that word, grace. And I've thought, yeah, give yourself grace, Barb. And so I think if you ever get anything out of these podcasts that we're offering up to all of you in this community, give yourself grace. Allow yourself to be forgiving of yourself in every moment, and don't let it linger and fester about what you did that was so awful that you can't let it go.
Well, also remembering, like Maya Angelou says, forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it. And I think what that means is I kind of view it as we're all born into this world not really knowing anything. I mean, there's obviously some innate stuff that we have, the wisdom we have within us as human beings, but everything is learned. And, you know, we, as kids, we learn, you know, not to touch a hot stove because that'll burn us, or, you know, not to cross the street without looking both ways because, you know, that's dangerous. All of these things in life we pick up, and it goes the same with how we act in life, like how we want to present ourselves in life, what matters to us, what parts of life don't matter so much or aren't as important, how we want to treat people, everything. Honing our own skills. Like we start out as life as beginners with no real fortes, I think. And I kind of, as you were talking, was thinking like that life is kind of like a video game. And, you know, you go through and you pick up, like I was kind of thinking of Sonic. Remember, I loved to play Sonic the Hedgehog as a kid.
Mm-hmm, I sure do.
And, you know, Sonic kind of runs around and he collects coins and the coins give him powers. And I'm like, lessons are kind of like, I'm Sonic and that's me collecting coins. And sometimes you go through really rocky stuff to get the coins, but it's worth it. And I think that going through life, it's unrealistic and it leads to so much disappointment and heartache. Expecting ourselves to be so much more advanced than necessarily we are as human beings.
And I think that's a perfect lead in, Michelle, to our topic today. And
yeah, we haven't even really
like the continuation of our topic. No, I think we needed all of this back. Sorry, because it's so important to understand where our teachings all come from, like all of us in life, where, you know, how do we learn? How do we grow? How do we become the best version? So as we said, I've been practicing this now for over a year, and it's this, in looking at the way our minds work, and I believe fully that two kinds of suffering that leads to more suffering and suffering that leads to the end of suffering. So in my view, the suffering that leads to more suffering is all about my mind and what my mind says about the pain that I'm experiencing in the moment. And what I've determined and what I've seen in my own life, I'll say my own experiences in my own life, there are three things that contribute to more suffering for me. And the three things are judging, the judgment of the pain that I'm feeling or the judgment of other people, any kind of judging. I use the word discernment when I'm actually living life. I don't use the word, I use the word judge often in a very negative connotation, because for me, it feels like when I get into a judgment mode, whatever, judgment's been such a buzzword over the past 5 or 10 years. When I get into a judgment, it's usually negative. It's usually a judgment about something. And I think if you look it up in the dictionary, that's not what it is at all. It actually, the synonym to judgment is discernment. And so I think for me, it's become a negative situation where really judgment, I think the dictionary says it's the ability to make considerate decisions, you know, or looking at conclusions that might serve us. So for me, when I use the word judgment, just so all of you know, it's not in a positive way. It's usually in a negative way, because I'm usually thinking about judgment in a negative way.
I think most of us do think of judgment as having those decisions or conclusions through a critical lens.
Yes.
I mean, negative too, but
a critical, that's even better.
I think a judgment is having a criticism or a difference of a opinion on how someone is acting or saying or living.
And so I like the word discernment if I'm looking at, because it feels, I don't know, maybe it feels a little kinder or more gentler. I don't know. So I'm thinking about, judging is something that I feel like as humans, we do a lot and we're not even aware of most of it half of the time.
I think almost every second of our lives is almost a judgment. I mean, consciously, be judging you right now.
Yeah. Agreed. I agreed. You got the point. It's really true. It is pretty much a nonstop thing that's happening. So you're really validating what I'm saying here, that judging is a huge deal in our minds, because 90% of it is not external. It's mental. So we're judging. So it's staying in the mind, and it's doubling and it's tripling and it's quadrupling. It's kind of like a running thing that I'm judging this, and then I'm judging upon judging, and then judging the judging upon the judging. So it's kind of like a nonstop thing. So judging.
Can I just add something real quickly before you go to the next? And I think with judging too, it goes back to what we've talked about with the thoughts in the mind and the grooves in the brain. I think our brains, for whatever reason, if a scientist is listening and has more sciencey insights into this, I'd love to hear them. But I think for whatever reason, our brains and our minds are so susceptible to judgmental thoughts. And it's so easy for our minds to want to go there. You know, I could be sitting here talking to you, talking on this podcast, and look outside the window and see your neighbor, you know, has a fan, and I don't like the fan that they have outside. And oh, that fan is so ugly. Like, why would they put that there? It really ruins the whole aesthetic of their backyard. And oh, now that I have to look at it in my seat here, it's ruining my experience in my house. Like, our mind, everywhere we look, is an opportunity for judgment. And so often our minds pick up on it, I think. And I just find that fascinating. And I think basically every episode that we have on this show and almost everything that we talk about goes into how can we choose and have the power to say, okay, yeah, I see this in the next door, but I don't need to go down that thought process with it.
Well,
and have the choice.
Research has already shown, so that's already been proven, that a negative built upon a negative, it's just so much easier for whatever reason, as you said. But research has shown that when we have a negative thought in the mind, it just keeps multiplying. When we have a positive thought in the mind, it ends there. So I think if you could try this in your own lives, you see a sunset and it's a beautiful sunset and we love it in that moment and it's done. We love it. It goes into the heart. It goes into, you know, goosebumps or gives us the feelings of warmth, but then it's done. But we see a fan, as you're using that example of a neighbor, which is all very,
I was just trying to get,
it's not all real. It's, but it's true. What your example was true. If you see a fan in a neighbor and you don't like it, if it somehow gives you a negative vibe or gives you a negative, energy about it, you will then spend the next 10 minutes with multiplying all those negative things. Why would they do that? What is
wrong? I was
just
trying to show the low stakes of it. It's not even personal. It's just that's how much energy it takes in our brains.
And that's why it's such a good example.
Yeah.
It's a nothing. Exactly. It is an absolute nothing that is taken.
It impacts my life zero.
Exactly. But it does impact your life greatly because you're spending time. And if we could really get that a positive, first of all, positive and negative can't live in the mind at the same time, which we already know that. But a positive mind lives for a nanosecond most of the time. And we enjoy it. We sit in the moment with it. We're happy. We share it with a friend or a neighbor, but then it's done. But a negative can actually, with a nothingness, the example that you just gave, can actually live in our minds for 30, 40, 50 minutes. And then what I've seen happen in my own life, a nothing thing happening in the morning, I go out to dinner with some friends and I'll repeat it even at dinner. Hey, did you know, this is so ridiculous. Have you seen what's happening down the street from me? It's so insidious. So,
but I think too, when you don't have the awareness of it and have the ability to notice it, it builds. And I think that's where you get this unexplained, quote unquote unexplained, we can pinpoint it now, but like rage or anger that it explodes, yes. You know, and you could see a neighbor exploding on you because they've had these crazy feelings about your fan for decades. And then one day it's like, F you and your fan.
But that's the point. I mean, I think that's the point.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The awareness that it's
so small. It can start so small.
It's everything in your life. Yeah. I think that's the point we're trying to make. It is these little teeny tiny things in life that are our greatest obstacles, our greatest hindrances, our greatest experiences of being able to practice. Oh my gosh, I start a judgment of my neighbor who has a fan. Wait a minute. Like we stop in the moment. Wait a minute. This is not serving me at all. And you literally interrupt it and go to something else. So that's the judging part of it. Because
I think
it's
my whole
huge.
Point was it's just, there's opportunities for it everywhere.
Exactly.
And we have a choice, I think, of whether or not we really want to engage with it. But
I want to interrupt you. We only know that we have a choice once we understand that it's causing us suffering.
I understand, but I'm just saying in every moment, that's why I'm in every moment of the day, I could accept the invitation to be in judgment.
Beautifully said. Yes.
So that's the whole point. I don't, because we think of judgment as like, oh, gossiping about someone's life choices or being like, oh, did you see her new haircut? What, you know, that kind of stuff. That's, but when you actually think about it, it's almost in every second of the day, we could see invitations to have judgmental thoughts.
We are having judgments just about everything.
I mean, I just had a judgment about you.
Yeah, because you thought I breathed into the microphone too hard.
Don't worry. I try very hard to make sure you don't get weird mouth noises on this show.
So I think that is the truth. And that's why judgment is first. That's why it's so important.
Yeah. We can talk about judgment in a whole episode.
I think we should. And we don't think it's important till we connect it with suffering. I'm just here to say, after experiencing this, it's really what you were saying, Michelle, is so eye-opening. It's like everything in life. And we don't recognize that it's everything in life until we can actually connect it with our own pain and suffering. We don't think of all this energy being wasted on judging nothing as pain and suffering, and it is. And then the second piece of this is comparisons. We are also in comparison mode often about the most nonsensical things, external appearances, whatever it is. That person's smarter than I am, or that person has more money than I do, or that person has better hair than I do, or that person has a nicer car than I do, whatever. We are always, almost always comparing ourselves with another person, with a thing, with a energy, with a lifestyle, with a whatever it is. It's the same thing like judgment.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's the Roosevelt quote, comparison is the thief of joy.
Exactly. Exactly.
I almost think too, comparison is the thief of our own unique, special traits. It's like the more and more that I've thought about it over my life, because I used to be maybe judgment wasn't necessarily my top shtick of dysfunctional thinking. Comparison definitely was and is. That's my like cross to bear, I guess, because I could spend my whole day comparing my life, my appearance, my path, my skills, my abilities, my shortcomings, my thoughts, my personality, everything about myself. I used to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what's so amazing.
I could spend the whole day engaging in those loops of this person handled this situation better. Why can't I? This person looks this way in these clothes. Why don't I? This person has this job opportunity. Why don't I? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That for me was almost the basis of my outview on life. And since I've been on this path and this journey and really having that intention to try to be more introspective and become my own best friend, like we talk about so often, and really lean into the specialness of my own uniqueness, is where I've started to unpack those comparisons to realize and actually believe as truth that, and I do believe this as truth, that we all are here for a unique purpose with unique skills, with unique traits, and with a unique life path, and that no two lives will look the same. And that's what makes life so interesting and so beautiful and so cool. Because even though, Mom, you and I currently are living together, we've shared a lot of similar experiences and places along our paths. Our paths are still separate and different and unique. And knowing all of this to be true, what on earth is the point of comparing my life to yours? Like I can't think of a bigger waste of time and it's robbing me of what makes me me.
And I think that's beautifully, beautifully said, Michelle. That is the whole point. And how do we get to the point of believing exactly what you're saying about yourself and about every single human being walking the face of this earth? Is we have to regard ourselves as loving, as caring, as worthy. And when we don't love ourselves, when we don't care deeply about ourselves, when we don't think that we're worthy, we are going to compare. We are going to judge. We are going to do both of those things because it's all we know to do in order to keep ourselves going. It's like if we succumb to the fact that I don't need to judge anymore and I don't need to compare anymore, then there's almost the thing like, okay, then what? Like what's left? Because we have to have that belief and that strong sense of I matter. I am worthy. No one is any more worthy than anyone else. No one matters more than anyone else. These celebrities, all the things in life that we think are better than we are, that matter more than we are. Sure, they teach us things and their experiences out there, but they're not better than we are. And they don't matter more than we do. Nothing is better than we are. Nothing matters more than we are. So we can truly start to love and care about ourselves deeply. Then we can get to the point of what you're saying, Michelle, that it is such a huge waste of time. And it's never going to lead us to a place of happiness or joy or success. It's always, and I don't use the word always a lot, it's always going to lead us to suffering. Right. Always.
But I think too, it could be hard for a lot of people because it was hard for me as well to get to that place of loving myself despite, I know she gave me a look.
No, it's, yeah,
but
no
like
kidding.
Despite
yeah.
feeling inadequate or not enough or yep. like somehow life is against you. And for me at least, and maybe this will resonate with someone else, hopefully, it's like the self-love, self-compassion, self-acceptance piece really started to come along for me as a side effect to really believing that my life won't betray me. Mm. Like my life path, my life journey, what's meant for me in my life won't betray me. And so one that allowed me to like live with a deeper sense of trust, which obviously I work on and practice every day because that's been hard for me in my life. But it also helped me to kind of reframe some of the bumps in the road of my life as not my life betraying me, but as, oh, how great because it took me to this, this, and this. For example, like I used to really, 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 and again, still working through it, really struggle with the concept that I'm in my 30s and I'm not married. And, you know, I've had boyfriends along the way, long-term relationships along the way, whatever. But I think in my mind, I used to think, okay, I'll hit 30 and then I'll get married. And obviously I've had lots of friends that have done that. And so I've been through that whole phase of life. And that was a huge source of my comparison. Everyone's getting married. Now everyone's starting to have kids. Why am I not? What's wrong with me? Why haven't I met my person? And then another thing that I've really also been unpacking is like, what's so wrong with me to make me not be quote unquote chosen by someone else? I don't believe that anymore, but that was a thing. That was a huge source of comparison for me. And I used to like agonize and toil over it for so long, for like night at night going to bed. Why is this my life? And why isn't my life one where that was something that came more easily? And I would really fight with my life path and my life journey about that. Like I would wish away this part of my life and wish I would have different circumstances. And now that I've gotten to this place of like, my life won't betray me, I have gratitude for the fact that it wasn't, that it was different. And I'm so grateful for what my life has allowed me despite me not getting what I thought I wanted at the time that I wanted it. And the more that I can reinforce within myself that my life doesn't have to look like everyone else's to be valid and worthy and a beautiful part of this world, and that my life won't betray me to the point of the things that I want, the desires that I have, the goals that I hope to achieve, because I desire them and want them, they're within me. And so my life won't betray me by not taking me there. But it's not up to me to know the timing of it.
Yeah, so you trust the timing of your
life. So I trust the timing, yeah. But I don't have the comparison. Like, that's good for you. This is what's my life is.
And I think that is an amazing pathway to getting to loving, accepting, and trusting your life completely.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's perfect, but
it's a practice every day.
It's the practice every day. And I think the thing that led me to understanding all this is really, really understanding deeply what's helped me so much, especially in practicing this deep, like being very concerted effort in practicing this deeply for the past year and a half, is the notion that everyone suffers, everyone has pain, we are all human beings living human experiences. And so we are all in the same boat. I am not alone in my own pain and suffering. It's my own unique experience, but I'm not alone. And I think when I really got that deep within my being that, oh my gosh, I'm comparing myself, I'm judging others, I'm comparing others. I'm in this whole cycle of judging, comparing, when actually we're all in the same boat.
Right.
We are all living our life experiences and none of us is getting through life unscathed. We've got something that is going to touch us deeply and cause us to feel immense pain and suffering and little bit of pain and suffering. And so what has really been a practice that I deeply get it now is how can I not contribute to the longevity, to the length of my pain and suffering? But it's going to happen because I am living a life experience.
Right.
And I don't need to compare myself with other people because we're all living in the same boat. I mean, we're all living in the same world. And other people's experiences, some are so much harder and so much worse than mine. And other people's are maybe so much easier and so much easy breezier than mine. Whatever it is, I am not alone. And I think that has helped me tremendously to stop focusing on other people and their thoughts and opinions and their behaviors and really focus on me. Like, this is my one wild and precious life. It's like that quote, my one wild and precious life. We only have this moment. Time is our most precious resource. We can never get it back. All of those things become such a true, true, true feeling of reality from the inside out. Oh my gosh, I don't want to waste any more time. This is so useless. This is causing my own suffering.
Before we get into the last one, let's take another quick break, please. And we're back. Go for it.
So we've got no judging and no comparing. And then the last thing is fixing. This idea.
This is a big one for you.
Yes. This idea that we can fix people or that we can fix things. Of course we sometimes can fix things. We can never fix another person. Of course we have influences. You know, we take on the behaviors. I believe that research is very true and very valid. We take on the behavior of the five people we spend the most time with. So choose wisely the people that you're spending the most time with. Of course, things can happen because we are always learning and growing and becoming. But we cannot fix other people. We cannot have the intention that we need to fix this in order for life to be right. I need for this to be fixed, or something happens in our lives and we think, oh my gosh, I can't live until I fix this, or I can't be with this person until they change or until this gets fixed. Or this idea that it is our sole responsibility. And this is a big one for me because I always feel like my whole life, the fixer.
Controlling as well.
Exactly. I was just going to go to that. Exactly.
Sorry.
No. Thank you. Controlling. I have a huge...
Fixing
is controlling. I have a huge... And it's been a practice forever, but my controlling phase and my controlling head can rear itself big time. And it sometimes takes me aback. I'll have to say, wait a minute, what are you trying to do here, Barb?
That's been a big piece for us living together with you and me.
And that's why I think it's been so beautiful this past iteration of us being roommates. We haven't been together since you were in high school and now you're 30 in your late 30s and I'm in my late 60s. And I think it's been incredible because that lack of the need to control is really subsided. And if it rears its head or we start to feel like we're going to control something, I think we're aware, which we always talk about on this show. Awareness is key.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you're laughing because I know I'm going to give you a chance to rebut this thing that I'm saying right now. But I think that's what we're talking about all the time in this life and in this practice. Is it's never going to get to perfection. we're probably never going to get rid of the judging mind. We're probably never going to get rid of the comparing mind. So don't have that as your goal. I'm going to stop judging. I'm going to stop comparing. I'm going to stop fixing.
Where do you want your mind to go?
Well, don't even have that. I'm going to stop. Like that is such a harsh, for me, it's such a harsh thing. And I'm not sure it's possible for our minds to go from most of the time judging, comparing, and fixing to never judging, comparing, fixing. So I'm always looking for the middle path. I'm always looking for the middle way. What's the gentlest, most considerate way that I can live my life that's gentle to me, gentle to other people, and gentle to the environment? So
I always look for replacements. If I'm not judging, then I'm just accepting.
Exactly.
Or if I'm not comparing, then I'm leaning into like my own trust or self-love.
Beautiful.
And then if I'm not fixing, I'm just allowing.
So when you have a judgment or a comparison or a fixing thought come up, it's not that it's never going to come up again. You then guide it to another place.
It's like that space to have mm-hmm. the choice.
Love it.
Like
I
with the
it.
Fan, I could look at it and say, wow, I hate that. It's so ugly. Or okay, that's there. Next thing.
Right. I love it.
I think it's really establishing that awareness of what I want to engage with and what I don't, and what I want, because so much of this practice has been to help me feel happier and more grounded in my own life. And so I know that comparing myself or letting myself go down that thought pattern is going to lead to more suffering. And I know that reinforcing what I believe to be true about my own life and my own path helps me immensely. And so knowing what works for you and what tools or thoughts or affirmations will reinforce your desires is really what it's all about.
I love this, Michelle, so much. It's so, it's at the foundation of everything that we're talking about today and everything that we talk about on every single episode. Really becoming aware that you're in a judging mode or you're in a fixing mode or you're in your comparing mode and choosing, wait a minute, this is not serving me right now. Let it go and move on to the next, because your negative and positive can't exist in the mind at the same time, and go on to the next thing. And I think what I love so much about what you said and what I love so much about this practice, what has happened for me in this, because I promise you, all of you listening to this right now, you're not going to be able to go back into your life without being aware of judging, comparing, and fixing. It will just be in you. You've kind of turned on the switch of, wow, how often am I judging? This is incredible. You're starting to become even more so your own scientist of your life. And when we stop feeding into the judging, fixing, and comparing, exactly what you said, Michelle, instead of going down the rabbit hole of that person's fan or whatever it is, going down the rabbit hole of the judging, comparing, and fixing, we actually interrupt the process.
Right.
We interrupt, as you talk about so often, that groove in the brain. We interrupt the process and it gives us space, so much spaciousness, so much expansion of the mind, where we actually then can be in the present moment. We can actually feel what's happening for us in the moment, because the judging, comparing, and fixing is a distraction. We are constantly being distracted by those things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not part of the moment. We're distracted from the moment to those things. And that's why I think those three things are so important.
Mm-hmm.
These three things are just about everything in our life, everything in our brains. And these are the three things that our mind will get distracted for or get distracted by. And when we can have that, beautifully said, Michelle, that space and stop and pause and interrupt those fixing, comparing, or judging, we experience the moment until we go to the next moment,
right.
Until we go to the next moment. So we're not being distracted by one of these three hindrances. I think these things hinder us from living the life that we're trying to live in the moment, trying to be present to whatever it is we're doing. Time is our precious resource. Then we're able to cultivate a deeper sense or a deeper wisdom of how we're actually relating to life. How am I actually relating to you, Michelle? And that's what's been so important with us living together now. How am I actually experiencing my life with you moment to moment? And what is the most important thing? And it's not like I think about these things, what's the most important. It's just an innate feeling inside of me now. It's more the prominent feeling than being right.
Right.
Or than being controlling. Or than telling you what to do, what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right. It's so amazing. And that's where we go when we start to practice this, making it full circle. I think I started this whole episode this way, is be serious about the life you're living, but don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah. Like we have more, like I can laugh now. I remember the other day, I think I was trying to control you in something or another. I'm sure that I was. I don't remember what it was. You have a big smile on your
face. No, I think living together lately, it's been a lot of small things of fixing. Like, I think I said this on the first episode, like I fell asleep with the TV on the other night, one night. And you were like, you know, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I was like, I am a full ass adult. thank you though. Those kinds of things.
Well, and I think what you just said is so, so cute and so perfect. You said that. You said, I'm a full ass adult, but you didn't say it, like you didn't say it with exasperation or anger or resentment. I'm a full ass adult, leave me alone. And you said it that way. And then I laughed and I said, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Noted. So I think it, you know, we talk about, you know, this is second nature to me. Okay. So it's second nature to me to compare a second nature. Let's talk about what is our first nature. And I think when you start looking at the non-comparing, non-judging, not, no fixing, you start to get to the first nature. And that's really not wanting to judge, compare, and fix other people, wanting to relinquish control of other people that we have no control over anyway, and wanting to truly look at, I don't need to be right in this situation.
Yeah,
I want to be fun loving. I want to be happy. I want to laugh. I want to love. I want to enjoy. And I think that's kind of what's happening for both of us. If we get into a situation like this, like, okay, wait a minute. I just want to have fun.
Right.
Because as you said, Michelle, most of the things that we're talking about are nothing. Do I think it's a good idea to fall asleep with the TV on? No. But is it my place to try to fix you or judge you or compare you to life and circumstances around it? No. And is it going to take away from my joy and happiness of being with you? Yes. Is it going to cause me more pain and suffering if you don't acquiesce and turn that damn TV off when you go to bed? Yes. So that's what I think we're trying to say.
Yeah.
If you don't turn the TV off, I suffer.
Right.
Because I'm right. And you need to turn that TV off. It's so insidious, but it's so powerful and it's so important. And I'm so happy we're ending this episode on this laughter because it's so true. It's so true. All of this is, most of it is so silly. And even the big stuff. Even the big stuff, like you are hard on yourself for not being married yet, or you're hard on yourself for not having kids yet. Do you know how many people ask me why you're not married yet? Or are you getting married?
Sure.
Or don't I want to be a grandmother? All of that. So if we took it all so seriously, like I have control over any of that.
Right.
And I love you exactly the way you are right now in this moment.
Thank you.
I don't have a thought of being a grandmother because I'm not one. Maybe when you have kids one day, if you do have kids one day, maybe I'll think about being a grandma. I mean, it's just that really being present as to what's happening and not allowing my mind to ruminate over things that I have no control over, that are none of my business, and that are taking away from my joy and happiness in the moment. And even more than that, because we talk about joy and happiness in the moment, that is something we've been talking about for decades. But how about we also look at the alternative? If we're taking away from our joy and happiness, we're adding to our pain and suffering. Because literally, if I'm not going to be okay with however it is you're living your life, I'm going to suffer.
Right. That's true.
I am adding to my own suffering.
Adding to your own suffering.
So I'm literally taking away from any kind of happiness or joy or present moment awareness that I might have. So what I would like to say in ending this episode is give this a try. Like sit down with yourself and say, okay, I'm gonna really work on becoming aware of how often I judge people, places, or things, mm-hmm. how often I compare people, places, or things, mm-hmm. and how often I'm trying to fix people, places, and things. And I'm just going to become aware how often my mind is trying to do that, and not only trying to do that to start, but how often I let it go down all the iterations of where it wants to go. And then once you're aware of you doing that, then little by little, you can start to become aware of how much it causes you pain, how much it detracts from any kind of happiness or joy you possibly could be feeling in the moment. And as you start to practice this, even if it's just a little bit, I want you to be very gentle with yourself. I want you to understand that everything that you're doing, everything that's happening, you are doing it the best that you're able. You are doing the very best you can. So if at the end of one day, because this happened to me, at the end of one day, if you got exhausted as you were tucking yourself into bed because you spent the whole day judging, comparing, and fixing, smile and say, wow, that was fantastic. Like turn the table on it. I remember going to bed one night thinking, oh my gosh, I am exhausted. This is what I do all day long.
Yeah.
And then I started laughing and I said to myself, Barb, this was a day very well spent. Look at what you just learned. And the minute you turn the table on it, the minute you bring the negative to a positive, exactly what you said earlier, Michelle, it was mm-hmm. genius what you said earlier. The minute you say, wow, this was a day very well spent, even though I'm exhausted because I did nothing but judge, compare, and fix in my mind, it's like you're flipping the switch of learning. You're flipping the switch like this experience was a blessing. Even though I'm exhausted, I learned so much and it's going to really help me tomorrow.
I love that. That's such a great way to close out this episode.
Well, I love you.
I love you. Thank you for sharing that and always sharing the things that you learn in life along the way. I think this was a really cool one. And I'm grateful for the conversation.
Well, and remember, these are all natural parts of the path. We're not going to get rid of any of it for good, but we can do our best at bringing ourselves back to the present moment and making time not only our most precious resource that we already know, but making it valuable and making it, wow, I just learned that. This is so cool.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's like the video game of life. I got the ring. It might not have been a fun journey getting there, but I love that I got the ring now.
You're so cute.
I'm Sonic.
You're so cute because I don't even get those games at all. And remember what, that used to be one of our bones of contention yep. when you were younger. I used to say, Michelle, you're wasting so much time on these video games. You'd be on an airplane
Stop
with
playing
the game.
Candy Crush. She hates when
Stop
I play
playing
Candy
games.
Crush.
But now I have a different perspective. And plus, I'm not the boss of you and I'm yeah. not in charge
yeah.
of fixing. And I'm certainly not, I certainly do not want to be a judge of your life. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's fun.
I love you. I love all
love
of you,
you
so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you everyone for listening and being a part of this community and engaging with us in this way. We love it so much. And we're so grateful for all of you.
Well, enjoy this journey this week of no judging, yeah. no comparing, no fixing the best.
Let
you're
us know,
able.
Connect with us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod, and let us know how it's going. Because it is when you intentionally look out for these three things in particular, it's wild what comes up. So if you feel so called to share, send us a message and let us know. And also make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. And if you haven't yet, if you are enjoying the show, leaving us a 5-star review and a rating is super helpful and we appreciate it greatly. Lastly, make sure that you are signed up for our newsletter, which can be found in the link in our show notes for updates, offerings, announcements, everything fun. We have a lot of stuff in the pipeline for you all that we're so excited to share. So the best way to stay in touch is through that link in the show notes. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, for always showing up with a smile on your face. And we will chat with you next week because as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.